heard that. And the word came in larger tens. In larger tens. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 54. If you'd like to flip over there in your Bibles, and I'll read it to you, and you can follow me in your Bibles. But this scripture came to my mind, and I was thinking, enlarge your tents. That's what we're doing. We're not building a bigger building. We're just making one more usable by going to multiple services. And I got to thinking about enlarge your tent, enlarge your tent. Lord, what is it you want to say to us about enlarge your tent? Well, it's found in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. It says, sing, O barren, you have not born, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You have not travailed with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. He's talking to women who have not been able to bear children. Or this is the gist of what he's saying here. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtain of your inhabitants. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Wow, that's a powerful scripture. Talking to women. He's talking to a nation. He's talking to a people. He's talking to the nation of Israel. Or we might say the church, the early church of Israel. And I begin to examine the context of that verse of Scripture. And I was amazed at what I saw. You know, a lot of times we read a verse of Scripture and we don't read the context before and after, and we only just get so much of what God is trying to say to us. But when I begin to look at this, I backed up in Isaiah chapter 53. Is anybody familiar with Isaiah chapter 53? This is the chapter that is prophetic of the crucifixion of the Lord. Remember, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. And then it goes on to say in Isaiah chapter 53:5, it said, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That scripture is quoted again in 1 Peter 2:24, and it says, by his stripes you were healed. So we know that is prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we begin to study the context of this, God is speaking prophetically. One thing that was always happening in the nation of Israel, they were always getting into trouble. They were always messing up. They were always rebelling against God. And it seemed like at least two times they went into exile. They went into Babylonian exile. But right before the time of Christ, it just seems like God got silent. What had happened in Israel was that they began to look for the Messiah. They begin to write what they call the oral traditions. And in the religion of Judaism, they begin to, I guess we'd call it commentary today, commentary on the law. And what began to become troubling is that they began to exalt the commentary or the oral tradition to the same level that they did the law. And they became very, and we use this term a lot around here in a negative connotation. There is a good connotation to use the word religion, but there's also a bad connotation. They became very religious. Anytime that our tradition has the same status as the Word of God in our lives, we start dying. We start dying. See, it's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. It's not our traditions. It's not our denominations. It's not the things that we, how we practice things. It's not our rules and regulations. You know, God is not about rules and regulations. God's about life. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. We want to be a life-giving church. We don't want to be stodgy and religious. But this is what was happening in the midst of all of this. And then when we get to Isaiah chapter 54, he starts prophesying to a barren woman. And he's prophesying to the nation of Israel. Oh, you have become barren. Why have you become barren? Because God has lost His place in your practice. He's not the center and the focus of your life. So the whole nation of Israel had just become religious. They were caught up in the law. They were caught up in all of that. And then if you go to, verse 11. Look down in verse 11. This is some good stuff. God begins to talk. He says, "He shall see the travail of His soul," talking about Jesus, "and be satisfied. By His knowledge, My righteous servant shall justify many. For He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." This is talking about Jesus. He said there's going to come a time that this Messiah is going to come, and He's going to bear their sins, and with His stripes you're going to be healed, and by His sacrifice He is going to make many righteous. He's going to bring about something that is tremendous. Then if we go down to Isaiah chapter 55, you might want to flip over there. We'll look at a couple verses there. This is after 54. This is after He says, okay, enlarge your tents, stretch out the ropes. You're fixing to get bigger. You're fixing to increase. But notice in Isaiah 55, it says this: "Wait and listen. Everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come. Buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to Me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, the profuseness of spiritual joy." What is He saying here? Messiah is coming. He's going to die. He's going to pay the price. He's going to come to His people. So He says, okay, enlarge your tent. Stretch out the stakes. You're fixing to start having children. And then Isaiah 55 is the message of the church, folks. It's the message of the Messiah. Listen, wait and listen. Everyone who is thirsty. You reckon there's people out there today who are thirsty, who are looking, who are tired of living in death and destruction? Come to the waters. Jesus talked about waters a whole lot. He says, you know, He told the woman at the well, He says, you know, you're drinking this water and you'll thirst again. He says, but the water that I'll give you shall be in you and you'll never thirst again. Wow. So He talks about the water. And it said, he who has no money, come buy and eat. You know what that says? You can't buy what God is given. You can't earn what God is given. In the Old Testament, they thought they had to earn everything. They couldn't earn it. It brought them to desolation. But Messiah comes, and He says, okay, it's time for you to stretch out your tents because you're fixing to have some babies. Things changed around the Insel dwelling. 2 years ago, when we had babies, we used to have gatherings at our house, and it was wonderful. We played games, we played cards, we did anything we wanted to. And then two little babies come along, and it changed the whole complexion of the family. All of a sudden, we had to make room for some little guys that had to be a lot of attention paid to. In a few months, guess what? We got to do the same thing again. It's going to change the complexion of our family. Did you know the church is a family? Church is a family of God. So, although this is speaking to Israel, and you know, and I think a whole lot about what happened on the day of Pentecost. Jesus had been crucified. He was raised from the dead. He says to his disciples, he says, you go wait because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, hang on because something's fixing to happen. And when he came, the very first day, was there 3,000 or 5,000 that were saved? Another time, there were several thousand people. And that early church grew and grew and grew and grew. They had to stretch their tents. Now, they didn't have a church. He wasn't talking about physical tents. What he's talking about is our hearts. And what began to happen in those early days of the church? The Holy Spirit began to move. People began to be birthed into the kingdom of God. And what is known as the church age began on that day. But did you know it was just a Jewish church at that time? But one of the things that he said in Isaiah, it says that your children will inherit the nations. Talking about the Gentiles. Not only is this a Jewish church today, it's also a Gentile church. I doubt if we got any Jews in here today. We're probably all Gentiles. And that's what began to happen on the day of Pentecost. The kingdom of God became alive in the earth, and people began to be born into the kingdom. And it challenged them. It stretched their thinking. They had to enlarge their hearts to see what God was going to do. And you know what? The religious folks just went nuts of that day. They opposed it. They tried to kill people. In fact, Saul of Tarsus was one of the ones that tried to persecute and kill the early church. And he wound up being one of the greatest apostles of all time. But what's the Spirit saying to us today as Believers Community Church? You know that we're part of that early church that began on the day of Pentecost. We're part of that same church. And you know, and the same message is true today. Because we've seen something happen in America. Especially in America. I don't know about other places. But a lot of times, we'll see a time of revival where the Word of God will come into to its proper position, and God will bless, and God will pour His Spirit out. And then we begin to get our traditions. Well, that's not the way we do it. This is the new way of doing it. And we do it and do it and do it, and the first thing you know, it becomes a tradition, and we exalt it to the same level as we do the Word of God. And when that happens, folks, what happened to Israel begins to happen in the church. And that's what has begun to happen. Well, it's not begun happening. It's been happening for a long time. In the American church. In the American church. We've exalted our tradition to the same level as the Word of God. And we begin to die. We didn't physically die. But we have become barren. I wonder what the statistics are in most churches of people who are being born again. It's not where it needs to be. It's not where it needs to be here. And you know, we baptize people every now and then, but it's not where it needs to be here. But you know what God is saying? He says you're going to have to stretch out your tents. I want to read that again. What He said. I like this. Enlarge the place of your tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of your habitations. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations. And make the desolate cities inhabited. Now that's awesome. I believe that that is a promise to us as the modern day church. That if we will enlarge our tents, and I don't think that just means build bigger buildings. You know, it's possible to build a big building and nobody come. And you know why that is? Because you can build a big building, you can enlarge your building, but if you don't enlarge your heart, nothing's going to happen. This, I'll say this again, this is not the church. This is the church. This is the church. This is what we're about. Changing the way that we think about church has to do with enlarging our tents. We've got to change the way that we think about stuff. Man. So we have to enlarge our heart. And there's three areas that I want to talk about. Let me give you three words. Choose, think, and feel. Because that's what our heart does. Our soul and our spirit, we choose, we think, we feel. Number one, choose. That's our will. What we will. But you know God will do nothing for you unless you let Him. Unless you choose Him. You have to by your will choose to let Him work in your life. You can keep God at arm's length and you'll not grow spiritually. There's a lot of people that get saved and but they want to keep God at arm's length. Yeah, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to be a Christian. Oh. So we have to choose. I have to choose to open my spirit to the Holy Spirit. Say that again. I have to choose to open my spirit to the Holy Spirit. All of this proceeds from the working of the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit at? He's in our spirit, isn't He? And what God wants to do is He wants, through the Holy Spirit that lives in all of us, as we open our hearts, as we choose to open our spirits, the Holy Spirit is going to orchestrate something through us that causes us to think and choose and feel bigger than we've ever done. That we're enlarging our tents. We have made room to grow. Okay? That's what we're doing. We're making room to grow. We want to see babies born. I'm talking about spiritual babies. We'll take some physical babies too. But if you're married. But we want to see some spiritual babies born into the kingdom. And that means that we have to choose to open our hearts to those people and receive them into the family. Now, we do pretty good at that. But pretty good is not enough. The greatest enemy to best is good. Let's be the best that we can be. So we have to choose. We have to choose to open our hearts. We have to choose to open our wills to what God wants to do. He said in Isaiah chapter 55, this is one of the chapters. I encourage you to read chapter 53, 54, and 55. I was going to send that out in an email, but my email went down, and I couldn't send it out. But read Isaiah chapter 53, 54, 55. But here's one of the things that he said. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord." We have ways and thoughts and ways of thinking about sometimes that they're not God's ways and they're not God's thoughts. See, if I'm not careful, I'm always at the center of my own thinking. What I like, what I want, what meets my need. And God says, you know what? My thoughts are not your thoughts. We have skewed thinking. We have tendency to be selfish. We don't like those, sometimes, to put up with those little kids screaming and pooping their pants and all the stuff that little kids do. You know, spiritual babies do that too. It can be messy sometimes. And we think, you know, it would just be so much easier just not to be open to all of this. But do you want to live or do you want to die? Do you want to live or you want to die? Are we willing to change to what God wants us to be in order that we can enlarge our hearts? And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to enlarge our hearts. That means we have to be willing to choose, think, and feel different than before. Number two, think. Choose to think bigger. We talked about this in life groups a few weeks ago. We talked about it on Wednesday nights. And there were six things to larger thinking. I want to go over these quickly again. Number one, realize that there's more to life than what you've experienced. There's a bigger world out there than you've ever known about. There's a bigger church world out there than you've known about. There's things going on in the realm of the Spirit that you have never encountered before. And we try to judge everything from inside our box. Boxes are not always good. Okay? The second thing is, and this is good, God doesn't put you in a box, But it takes faith in God's words to break you out. God didn't put you in the box that you're in. But it's going to take faith in God's word to get you out of your box. You know, some folks like their Baptist box, their Methodist box, their Pentecostal box, their Word of Faith box. We like our boxes. We can define things in our world. God wants to get us out beyond the things that we can't fathom and define, because God wants to do things a whole lot bigger than who we are and what we are. So we have to choose to think bigger. Number three, to change small living, you must start by changing small thinking. Most Christians, including myself, have been small thinkers. If you're a small thinker, you're a small liver. Did you get that? You live small. You want to live different. If you want to live larger, you're going to have to learn to think larger. You're going to have to expand your thinking. You're going to have to get outside your box. You're going to have to hear what some other people are saying. You're going to have to be open to more things than you've been open to before. The Word of God is our guide. But God has raised up people all over the world who are doing great things for Him. And you know, our tendency is, well, he's not of our stripe, so we can't listen to him, and we can't read his stuff, and we can't think in those realms because it doesn't fit our box. Well, God wants us to get out of the box. God wants us out of the box. He doesn't want us living small. He wants us living large. If we're going to live large, we're going to have to change small thinking. Number four, make a decision to live large. Make a decision to live large. You're going to have to think about some stuff. You're going to have to get in the mirror. We talked about this the other night in Celebrate Recovery. One of the most painful things in life is the examination of our own hearts. The examination of our attitudes. The examination of our lifestyles. Maybe character defects that we have. We don't want to look at those. And one of the things that we have seen in Celebrate Recovery, people are excited about step 1, 2, and 3. Step 1 says, I realize that I'm not God. Step 2 says, I believe that there is a God and He cares about me. Step 3 says that we make a decision to turn our will and life over to God. Step 4 says we start looking at ourselves. And sometimes that's painful. And we don't like to face the reality that we're our biggest problem. That our attitudes, that the character traits, we don't even want to look at them. We make excuses for them. We justify them. And in Celebrate Recovery, here's where we start seeing people drop out. Because they will not look at their own lives. They will not do a moral inventory so that they can change. So you have to make a decision to live large. You have to make a decision to live large. If you live large, you have to do some large things. You know, maybe nobody in your family has ever got a college education. Everybody has lived and existed without a college education. But you have the desire to get a college education. You could be the very first in your family to get a college degree. And you could turn around your family. See, if you're gonna think large and live large, you've got to make a decision to do certain things in order to do that. In order for us to think large as a church, we got to make a decision that we're gonna live large. Okay? Number five, you got to determine to bust out. If you don't determine to bust out, you'll just settle for the status quo. This means that you've got to continue to judging things in your life. You know, if you don't like where you are and what's going on in your life, you better make some changes so that you can have a different result. It's insanity to think that we can keep doing the same thing that we've always done and get a different result. It just doesn't work that way. Number six, dare to believe God. It's going to take faith to do this. See, you can't change yourself. You've got to find out what God's plan for your life is, and you've got to start stretching in that direction. You've got to start stretching in that direction. You've got to dare to believe God. See, listen to these words. Determine and dare. Dare to believe God. Then the last thing that we're going to talk about today is feel. There's three things that happen in our hearts. We choose, we think, and we feel. Some of you are good at feeling. And what we're talking about is we have to choose to love larger. You know, it's easy for me to love Ricky Jones by faith. No, it's Ricky is my friend. I'm his pastor, but we have that relationship. But it's easy for me to love Ricky. It's easy for me to let Ricky in my world, and I be in his world. But I've got to choose to love larger than that. A lot of times, we will just let a few people in our world, in our church, in our circle, and all of those things, and we have a tendency to keep everybody else at arm's length and pushed away. And that's why a lot of churches won't grow, because they will not choose to love large. Now, when you love large, you take bigger risk. It gets sloppy sometimes, because there's a lot of people out there who are not perfect like we are. Isn't that true? No, there's none of us perfect. But we get comfortable in our box, in our circle. But I found out this, that when you choose to love large and you start dealing with people who are not where you are, or maybe who are above where you are, it stretches you and you begin to grow. So will we choose to love large? Will we open our hearts? You know, we open our doors. But if we don't love, we won't grow. I want us to look at this video before we go today. And it just simply asks the question, will you make room for me? Are you ready?
Will you welcome me?
Will you welcome me?
Will you welcome me?
Will you welcome me?
Can I fit in?
Can I fit in?
Can I fit in?
Will you love me?
Will you love me?
Will you love me?
Will you love me?
Can you believe in 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 me?
Will you take me as I am?
Will you take me as I am?
Will you take me as I am?
Me podrás tomar así como soy?
Can you show me how to change?
Can you show me how to change?
Can you show me how to change?
Will you make room for me?
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 That kind of says it, doesn't it? We've got to choose to love larger. What if we became multicultural, socially, racially, in every other way? If we choose to love larger, first of all, if we choose to let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do, and get out of His way, if we choose to think bigger, and if we choose to love bigger, then we can be what God wants us to be as human beings and as a church. Folks, we're doing life together. This is a life-giving church. We're trying to discover what that means to be a life-giving church. I did not know what it was like being a grandpa or a papaw until two little boys came into my life. And all of a sudden, Doreen, I discovered it is the most wonderful thing in all of the world. There's nothing greater than being a papaw. Have a little boy look at you and say, Papa? And you just... But can we be that same way with people who are needing us? You know, those little boys depend on us. We have to change their diapers. We have to prepare their food. We have to feed them. We have to love them. Don't we have to do the same thing for people who are out there, who are hurting, lost their way, they're prodigals. I want to have the heart of the loving father in that story of the prodigal son. I don't want to have the heart of the older brother that thought he got what he deserved. I want to have a loving father heart that when the prodigal comes in, that we throw the party. And when we come together as a church, folks, this ought to be a party. Say, a party? Party in church? No, we are the church. And when we get together, it ought to be, let me use a more religious term, it ought to be a celebration. The kingdom of God, I love something that, what was that guy's name? Can't think of his name. The kingdom of God is a party. And I think that's cool that we come together in celebration. And when we celebrate the Lord celebrates us. And we can be a part of what He's doing. Let's pray today. Thank you, Father, that we as a people of God can enlarge the tents of our heart. Open our eyes, Lord. Many of us in the natural don't want to do this. But help us to see the harvest. Help us to see the harvest. Help us to see the potential. Many of us have loved ones who are hurting. When we see others who hurt, may we be reminded of the ones that we love that hurt. And may we reach out to some mother's son and father's daughter and see them come into your kingdom and the love that you have for them. Help us to be the church, a life-giving people. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Let's stand together. God is good.